Hi, this is Kelly Swales, the web editor of Lab Medicine Magazine, and joining us in our podcast series today is Dr. Hoffhines. He's a pathology resident at the University of Texas Southwestern, and he's going to talk with us a little bit today about analyte stability in the chemistry lab.
All right, well, thank you, Kelly, for that introduction, and I'm happy to be here to talk about this publication. At our clinical laboratory, we often get phone calls asking if a test can just be added on to a blood sample or a sample that was collected some point earlier. And of critical importance in this kind of situation is knowing whether or not the results of these add-on tests accurately reflect the properties of the sample at the time it was originally drawn. And this article by Jinks et al. Does a great job of testing the accuracy of several common clinical chemistry tests performed on samples drawn up to 72 hours prior. Their study collected blood from volunteers to obtain platelet-poor plasma, and then a CMP, or a complete metabolic panel, was performed on the plasma at 1 hour after collection, and then left in the original plasma separator tube, stored in a refrigerator, for 8, 16, 24, 48, and 72 hours before retesting. Now, in addition, some of the patient plasma samples were stored in new clean aliquot tubes, as opposed to just leaving it in the original separator tube for storage. When the authors retested the stored samples, they classified the retested results as acceptable if at least 95% of the retested values were within the allowable error limit, which was based on CLIA-defined limits for each analyte. Their results showed that for up to 24 hours of refrigerated storage, all but one of the tested analytes were stable. That is to say, they retested within the acceptable error limits. And this was true regardless of whether the sample had been stored in the original plasma separator tube or had been aliquoted into new clean tubes before storage. The one analyte that didn't meet their acceptable criteria, though, was calcium, and this was when it was retested on the samples that were stored in the original plasma separator tube. Even at the 8-hour time point, which was the earliest time point, it fell outside of the acceptable limits and fell even further outside the acceptable limit at the later time point. For all the other samples stored in the original plasma separator tubes, retesting values of various other analytes began falling outside of the acceptable limits as well as time went on. By 24 hours, carbon dioxide was outside of the limit, and by 48 hours, AST, glucose, alkaline phosphatase, and potassium were outside of the limits, with all the other analytes retesting within the acceptable limits all the way out to 72 hours. Interestingly, though, when the samples were aliquoted into new tubes before refrigerated storage, all the analytes retested within the allowable limits and all the way out to 72 hours post-collection, implying that all the complete metabolic panel analytes had improved stability up to at least 72 hours when stored in new aliquot tubes after processing. And that, so after it's been centrifuged into the plasma separator tubes and put into new aliquot tubes, it was stable up to 72 hours for all analytes. And so these findings are important because it gives us a little bit more confidence in being able to report out some of these add-on tests that are commonly done in clinical laboratories. For example, when you get a phone call and the clinician wants to add on a potassium test and it's been 8 hours since the specimen was collected, depending on the exact conditions of its storage and processing, which may be different than what was done in this particular article, you can get some idea of, as to whether or not that's going to be a reliable value. Now, having said that, I think we also need to make sure and emphasize that any add-on testing that's done in a given lab, that testing in that lab, make sure that that complies with that particular lab's policies for retesting. So just because the conditions undertaken by these authors in this article imply that certain analytes are stable for certain time points, conditions may be slightly different in any given laboratory, and you can't be 100% for certain that it's going to work the same in your laboratory. So you just need to make sure that you sort of take that with a grain of salt and also of course, make sure that you're complying with the policies of the individual lab that they may have for add-on testing. So it's always important to know your own lab's policies regarding that. But otherwise, yeah, I think this is a great article, and it highlights a common issue that comes up in clinical laboratory testing for clinical chemistry samples. And thank Kelly for giving me the chance to talk a little bit about that. Thanks.
Thanks, Dr. Hoffman, for joining us today. I'm sure our listeners found it very helpful for you to sort of recap this article that we've recently published online. Thank you so much for your time.
Great. Thank you very much, Kelly.